is risen. He is risen. Happy Easter to y'all. Happy Resurrection Day. We are going to be in Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter, if you do want to open your Bibles there. Luke 24. Thought it'd be good to share about the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this Sunday. It's funny, as I look over the years of teaching this topic, I think one of the prayers this morning actually in the back room was like, you know, it's the same text, we go over the same thing, and you're always looking for something exciting and new, but it is what it is. And I've never actually taught from the Gospel of Luke, so this year I decided to teach from Luke. Luke's a very, you know, we know he's a doctor, and so he's very to the point. So in a sense, he leaves out a lot of the details, but in also another sense, he leaves in all the most important details. So, but before we get started, let's go to Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are grateful for Resurrection Sunday, for a time to gather together and to remember that in Jerusalem there is an empty tomb. And that empty tomb signifies for us that we too one day will rise again. Whether you take us up in the air in the rapture, or Lord, if it's later on after you're going to raise us from the dead. And we are excited about the possibility of being with you in heaven forever. And so the empty tomb reminds us of the hope that we have in this life. Though it is very temporal, God, I pray that we would live it to the fullest. We ask your blessings upon this time and upon this day, Lord, as we spend time with family and friends. We pray that you would bless us, that we would be a blessing to one another, and of course, a blessing to you. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, today we celebrate, obviously, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from a tomb in Jerusalem. I don't know, anybody here ever been to Jerusalem? Ever been to Israel? Yeah, I mean, been there and actually saw a tomb that you could walk into and take a look at. You know, whether it's the actual tomb that Jesus Christ was in, you know, we can't say for certain, but it certainly was something like that. And man, you walk in there and you get what I call God bumps, you know. There's no geese over there. So it's God bumps, you know, the potential of Jesus being in that place. And that's one thing I love about going to Israel is, you know, Jesus was in those areas. You know, you're walking where Jesus walked. And so as we celebrate the empty tomb, it's about hope, right? It's restoring hope. And for the disciples, you know, 3 days of misery, right? When they watched their master, when they watched their savior die on a cross, all hope in a sense was lost. Why? Because they didn't pay attention to what Jesus said. How important it is for us to really pay attention to what he tells us and to hold on to those things. And had they, I say it every Easter, had they really paid attention to what Jesus said, they should have been lined up outside that tomb, expecting him to rise. But, you know, they're probably just like you and I. You know, we tend to not get things the first time. You know, I say it a lot. God, use a big bat because my head is hard and you've really got to get it in there so that I really understand what you're saying. But for us, you know, for the disciples, 3 days was a long time. But for us, it's like a 3-day weekend goes by like that. Why is it a 3-day weekend always seems longer than a 1 day at work, right? It just, I don't understand that. But for these, their hope was lost. And what I want to remind us today is that the resurrection renews our hope, and it establishes the victory that we as believers have over sin. How important that really truly is. You know, we know we're sinners. We know that we are just made up in this flesh and we have sinful tendencies, but we also have the Holy Spirit to help us not to sin. Right? We're never going to be sinless, but hopefully we do sin less in our lives because of the power of God in our lives and the Holy Spirit in us. And to realize that that victory is ours. And the resurrection displays the power of God. Now, the disciples or those that witnessed Jesus raise people from the dead, certainly Lazarus, they saw Jesus raise them from the dead, but they never expect him to raise himself from the dead. And so we can understand they're kind of hesitant in what Jesus said and how he told them time and time again, I will die, but I will rise on the third day. and how they missed that important detail. That important detail. Paul says to the church of Philippi, he says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, which means dying to sin, conforming to his death, because his death helps us to die to sin. Verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And this is not the Apostle Paul saying, well, maybe I'll be resurrected. He's not saying that. He's saying, I'm going to be resurrected one day. But if by some means I continue to suffer along this world in this time before I get there, I'm okay with that. I don't know how long that'll be, and none of us do. None of us know how long it'll be before that one day he takes us home. But the power of the resurrection, that's what I want to talk about this morning. I've titled this message, Resurrection Power, that we as believers have the power of Jesus dwelling in us, that resurrection power that gives us hope to deal with the things that are going on in our lives. If you're here this morning and you're not struggling with anything, well, I applaud you. But we're all dealing with something. There's always something that we're taking before the Lord and saying, God, I need help in this. And we need that resurrection power because, again, it's reminding us of our greater days are far ahead of us are in our future. Look with me at verse 1, chapter 24. We'll read, it says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So they came to anoint the dead body of Jesus. Verse 2, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are two angels. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Praise God. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. The power of the resurrection, this resurrection power that we have as believers, is only available to us if we remember what Jesus says, if we hold on to the truths that we find in our Bibles. It's so important to hold true to the Word of God. How many of us have been seeking the Lord or seeking the Lord for a certain situation going on in our lives and all of a sudden come over a verse, or maybe it's our morning devotion, or maybe somebody texts you. My wife and I are on a text string with another pastor and his wife, and every day we text each other a scripture to encourage one another. How many times have those verses spoken directly to our hearts, right into the very situations that we are going through? That's the power of God. God is alive. God's word is alive, and it's always there available to us. So it would do us well to listen, not just read it, to listen to the voice of the Spirit. How many of us, when we're doing our morning devotion, are just trying to get through it? I find it happened a lot in my life. I have a lot going on, a lot of things I need to do, and I'm like, let me get through my devotion so I can get to my next task. And I know that the Lord looks at it and goes, what's the hurry? This is the most important time of the day, is to spend with me. Because if we do spend that time, we will listen also to his word. So these women, once the angels spoke to them, said, listen, he's not here, he is risen, just like he told you he was going to. Then they remembered. You know, I love having people in my life that help me remember what God has told me, to help me remember the truth of who God is. You know, sometimes we just need those reminders. Sometimes we just need those encouragements. Someone to say, listen, don't give up. God's there. God's going to get you through it. He did it in my life. I'm confident he'll do it in your life. And we see him do that time and time again. I think for me, the toughest times are always when we lose hope that God has abandoned us, or that God doesn't understand, that maybe God's left us to deal with it. No, he's there. He's in the midst of it. Trust that he's going to be there. Obviously, we want to you know, seek him and draw close to him, but we don't want to avoid him. And so that's the point here, is they remembered his words. And I think for the disciples, they should have all been reminding each other. Wait a minute, don't you remember he said? But I know the disciples are like you and me. We hear a certain word and we stick to that word. And they heard he would die and that was it. You know, Peter chopping ears off and wanting to fight for the Lord. You know, that's all he heard. He didn't hear, and the third day I'll rise again. We're no different than them, are they? Are we? We're no different. We miss it. We miss it when the Lord says something to us. These women came to anoint, I say it every Easter, the dead body of Jesus. They came in to honor the Lord, but they did not come for the right purpose. They did not expect an empty tomb. They didn't even know. They were walking. Another gospel says that they were walking, didn't even know how the stone was going to be rolled away. God provided. God provided for them. He will provide for us. Remembering is the most important thing. It's interesting that they weren't encouraged until they remembered Jesus' word. They weren't encouraged when they heard angels speaking, which would be pretty encouraging, don't you think? I mean, if an angel showed up in my house during my devotion and started speaking to me, I would be pretty amazed. But that didn't change their hearts. What changed their hearts was the word of God. During your toughest times, you need to come and get in the word of God. That's what's going to give you that encouragement. Because you can know that Jesus rose from the dead intellectually, but unless you know his words, it won't penetrate your heart. Unless you know that the life and teachings of Jesus, unless you know him, you don't know that the resurrection means that the payment Jesus offered on the cross is complete. It's finished, paid in full. There's nothing more we have to do. Aren't you glad of that? That we don't have to work for our salvation? Should we abide in him? Yes. But you're not going to earn salvation. It's a done deal. And if you just know about Jesus, you're not going to understand that. I remember 30 years ago on this day when I gave my life to Christ, I didn't know who Jesus was. All I knew is I wanted my sins forgiven. All I knew is I wanted to begin to start walking with God. All of a sudden, I knew that there was something in my life I needed more of, and that pastor was preaching this message, and it penetrated my heart. And I said, I want that. Did I know who Jesus was? Did I know he died on the cross for my sins? I really didn't know any of that. It took time to learn that. So to know who Jesus is requires spending time with him. And unless you know the life and teachings of Jesus, you don't know that the cross was the payment for your sin. And the empty tomb was the receipt. I love that picture. Jesus paid the price on the cross, but the empty tomb tells us it's for sure, and it's going to happen for us. That is the hope that we have, my friends. In verse 9, we read on, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales or nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. It's always amazing to me that when the women come to tell the disciples that they doubted, that they didn't believe, you would think for 3 days that would be the only prayer in their minds. Lord, please come back. Lord, please, you didn't leave us. Lord, you said you would be with us. Why? You would think when they heard news that Jesus is alive, praise God, where is he? But they doubted. They doubted. And when we doubt, that is a lack of faith. It's not trusting in God. Bad things happen to Christians. Bad things happen to believers. Difficult situations happen. We don't always get what we want. But I believe God gives us exactly what we need and holds back those things that will do us harm. So we have to believe and we have to trust that God's in control. 2 days earlier on Friday in John's gospel, it says this, so that when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. I brutalized this word earlier. Hopefully I'll get it right this way. Tetelestai, One word, I nailed it. Tetelestai. We're going to have to edit that in the first service. Tetelestai. What that word means, I love this. It means paid in full. It is finished. Tetelestai. Paid in full. Canceled. It's what happens when someone pays off a debt. They stamp the paperwork. Paid in full. It's when a prisoner would serve his sentence and fulfill that sentence they would put on his cell. Paid in full. Canceled. That's what Jesus did for every sin in the world. Not just all the sins you commit. Past, present, and yet to come. Paid in full. That's good news, is it not? That's the power of the resurrection. Oh, Lord, you paid in full. So dying on the cross, paid it in full. Rising from the tomb reminds us that we too will rise from the dead. What in your life do you have to be reminded that Jesus paid in full? What sin are you holding on to? What temptation are you succumbing to? And that you're not being reminded that Jesus says it's paid in full. Don't let the enemy keep you in a place where you're condemned by your sin. Take it to Jesus and remember he willingly takes it for you. That's what he does. On the cross, Jesus basically said this, I have paid the price in full for every sin you have ever committed. And I'd love to leave that there so that we remember that this is what Jesus said to Tetelestai on that cross almost 2,000 years ago. Paid in full. And I mean, I know I'm going to say I was going to leave it up there, but C.S. Lewis put it this way. When Christ died, he died for you individually, just as much as if you'd been the only person in the world. Think about that for a minute. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of the world. But when he died on that cross, he also thought of you. He thought of me. And he thought of the sins that we were going to commit. And he still said, I will do it. It's a personal thing that Jesus has done. Christ died for your sin. Don't carry those burdens. I know we do that as believers. We feel like there, and there should be consequences. There are certainly consequences to our sin. But there should also be the hope that those sins have been removed because of what Jesus has done. In verse 13, this is the only area of the Bible that records this two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. It's such a great story, and I want to read it. It says in verse 13, now behold, two of them were traveling at that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went to them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe, in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Boy, I would love to have that MP3 of the teaching of Jesus Christ, expounding on all the scriptures concerning him. here's two disciples leaving Jerusalem, walking 7 miles back to their hometown of Emmaus, and they're talking about what happened to their Savior Jesus, not knowing he was Savior at this point. And that, to think about things that they were talking about, to think about the things that they were conversing about, oh, we had such hope in him. We had really hoped that he would be the one. How discouraged and downtrodden they must have been as they talked. And I see in this a real truth of the importance of fellowship with other believers. Times to talk about the Lord. You know, we can talk about the weather, we can talk about sports, we can talk about favorite activities, but as believers, we should be talking about what the Lord is doing in our lives. The power of the resurrection that flows in us is encouraging one another in what God is doing in our lives. And these two were just talking about the discouragement that they had. Jesus in a moment will reveal who he is, but he wants to know where their hearts are at. He knows there wasn't a lot of belief. They weren't believing in his resurrection at all. But guys, we have got as believers to encourage one another in the things of God. If you're going through a tough time, share it with somebody. If you've got a victory in your life, share it with somebody. Somebody needs to hear it. It's just amazing to me when we do our morning devotions and how God speaks to us in the morning, something that we will use later in the day. Oh, God, please use us in that way. And for these disciples and these discouraged disciples, Jesus just wanting to hear their heart, wanting to hear what it was that there was going through them. Jesus wants to hear from us. That's what I get out of this. As he's walking with them, he's like, I just want to hear what you guys are talking about. Jesus wants to hear from us, and we should talk to him. That one verse in verse 21, it says, we were hoping. Man, I circled that in my Bible. It's like, but we were hoping. But we were really hoping he would be the one. We were hoping that he was going to be all the miracles he did and all the teachings that he shared. It really seemed like he was the one. Made me think about what I'm hoping God will do in my life. You ever think about that? What do you need Jesus to be in your life? Do you need him to be the provider? Do you need him to heal you in some way? Is there something going on in your physical body that you wouldn't need God to answer that? Financially, does he need to provide in some way? He is that provider. He is the deliverer. But he's also our Savior. And I wonder if we would not just be satisfied with him being Savior. Keep him in the place of authority that he is. Verse 28 says, then they drew near the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the days are far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Sounds like the Last Supper. Verse 31 says, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Oof. Verse 32, and they said to one another, did our hearts not burn within us? Well, we talked with him on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, another 7 miles back, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he appeared to Simon. And they told about these things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Finally, these two disciples that are walking to Emmaus know who Jesus is because of what he did with the bread. It certainly had to bring back the picture of what Jesus had done. But, you know, verse 31, when he talks about their eyes were opened. The enemy wants to blind us. The enemy wants to distract us. The Spirit of God wants to open our eyes to the things of God. I do believe there's a spiritual side of keeping our eyes open to the things that God is doing and that we can participate in. Where's God working in your life? Do you see him working? Do you see him working in maybe a coworker's life? Do you see him working in one of your family members' life? Do you see him working in someone you just notice along the street? watching for the things that God might be doing. We have to keep our eyes open because God is always at work, isn't he? God never rests. He never stops. He's always at work, and he wants us to be a part of it. He is that deliverer. God's word can have the same effect on our heart that he had on these disciples' heart once they realized who Jesus was. And it said, you know, and they looked at each other, and did our hearts not burn within us when he talked with us? After Jesus left, they looked at each other and said, did you have the same feeling that I had when we were walking on the road? As he was talking and as he was expounding on them, didn't our hearts not just burn within us? Like, there's something about this man that seems so familiar. And there's some times in our walks with God when something happens and our hearts get touched. My brother is with the Lord right now. But in 1995, we were at a Christmas Eve service in South Florida. They had finally come to visit, so we took them to a Calvary Chapel Christmas Eve service. It was at Yankee Stadium. It actually was one of the coldest nights in Florida that I ever remember. So it was like winter in South Florida. And I'll never forget the messages the pastor was sharing. And my brother was sitting right next to me. And when that pastor gave the altar call, it was literally from almost the first word. You know, the pastor would say something, and I don't remember what the pastor exactly said. I just remember my brother's responses. It's like, do you want to give your life to Christ? And my brother was like, yeah. I mean, he's literally sitting on the edge of his seat. Yes, I want to do that. Can you commit to walking with the Lord? Yes, I can do that. I mean, it was almost to the point where he was like, could you just be quiet so I can get down there and get saved? There was something inside my brother that was burning in his heart, that the message touched him in such a powerful way that he and I walked down and he gave his life to the Lord. And my mother did on that Christmas Eve service as well. So my mom and my brother got saved while my dad continued to sit up in the bleachers. My heart went out to my dad. But my brother, he lived for the enemy really strong, but once he got saved, he really started living for the Lord. All of his friends, he would share about Jesus. Some of his lifestyles I didn't really approve of, but he still loved the Lord. And I have the assurance that I'm going to see him again when I leave this earth. Resurrection power reminds all of us that the loved ones that have gone before us, we're going to be reunited with. We're going to be together with. And I know there's some people in this room that they're not sure if their family's in heaven. That's up to God. You just got to trust what the Lord is doing in people's lives. And if you don't know if your loved ones are saved, then ask them. That's all we have to do is ask them if they want to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that my brother gave his life and my mother gave their lives that particular Christmas Eve. It was such a blessing to me. My father eventually came around. He finally gave his life to God. But that's the truth of the power of the cross, is that the empty tomb assures us that if we leave this earth, we're going to be in the presence of God. And the last verse, verse 36. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." I wanted to read this verse because I think it's so important, and I think it goes with Resurrection Sunday so perfectly. Jesus lived the perfect life, died on the cross, was buried in a tomb for 3 days, and rose again so that we can have peace in this life. There's a lot of things in the world that take our peace, that steal our joy. But God says peace to you. Don't let the enemy steal that peace that he's given to you. Know that greater days are ahead. Know that Jesus has a place for you and is preparing a place for you in heaven. And it's going to be absolutely glorious. Last verse, Romans 8:11. Paul wrote to the Romans and said this, "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Talk about peace. Talk about peace. I struggled for many years. Okay, Jesus died, he rose again, but why does that mean I get to rise? Don't I have to do something? Isn't there something I have, some way to pay back God for doing that? No. God says, trust in my Son. Put your faith in my Son, and I will give you access to God. One day, every single one of us in this room are going to stand before God before we enter into heaven, and he's going to say, why should I let you in? And if you struggle with the answer, let me give the answer to you. Because of Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's why you have access to heaven. Are you a perfect person? No. But he's a perfect Savior. And what he did was a perfect sacrifice, and God accepted that sacrifice. Resurrection power is given to those who place their trust in Jesus Christ for the removal of sin. Resurrection power helps you see the true meaning of life. Not only the life you live on this earth, but the life that we're going to live in heaven, where all we do is worship God and praise him and witness his glory. Resurrection power is available to you today if you've given your life to Christ. We don't have resurrection power unless Jesus gives it to us. It's his power. We can't go around saying, I've got all power. It's been given to us. And the power has been given to us to one day when we leave this earth to be in his presence. Resurrection power is a wonderful thing, and it's a great reminder on this Resurrection Sunday. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank you so much. How good you are, and how amazing this reminder is this morning. That you lived your life perfectly. Because we couldn't. You came to this earth to die in our place. And God, I pray that everyone in this room knows the assurance of our salvation, not because we're good people, not because we come to church, not because we read our Bible, or that we pray, but simply because we put our lives in the hands of Christ. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. God, may we live in that freedom. May we hold on to that truth that it is finished, that it is paid in full. These are things we remember on Resurrection Sunday. But Lord, help us to remember it every single day, that your resurrection power would flow through us, that it would help us rise above the hurt, the pain, the poverty, the illness, the struggles in this life. You said, in this world you will face tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And because of that, God, we put our hope and trust in you, that when we take our last breath here on earth, our next breath will be with you in heaven. I ask your blessings on everyone here this morning. May you bless our day with family and friends for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.